three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. I'm joined by Joseph Core is my name from Stats Performs Media, and I'm joined by Andrew Canyon. Andrew?
Hey, Joe. I'm back away from the bush now, back in the silence of the home. Although it's probably not going to be silent for long with two kids running around, so watch out for them. Bonus points if you hear a kid in the background.
We've got a number of topics this week. Didi Luzada, the Wildcats, Cam Oliver, Sans Cam Oliver. We've got a question from Monkey Man Mods. We've got a meeting with Larry Kessman, looking at some of the notes there. Illawarra, and then Brad and Body is another podcast on the NBL. Do go and subscribe and follow it now. It's a good listen. They had Andrew Gaze on most recently, and they asked him 10 tough questions, and I'm going to fire the same at Andrew, and we're going to canvass those between us. Before we jump in, though, Andrew, we'll do this one by one. I'll go Marvelous. If you're interested in learning about the league, great handbook on the league is Marvelous by Body Nodge. You can buy it in the description. Andrew, what the hawk do you want to sell?
I'm a big booster of Patreon. I think that's a way for people to show their love and support to the podcast. So for a mere $5 a month, you can you throw a bit of genuine support Joe's way. That never comes to me, funnily enough. I don't know. I haven't. The contract was wrong. Something's going on. In fact, I subscribe. I pay Joe $5 a month. That's how bad this deal is.
You know what? You must be represented by the Australian Basketball Players Association on that raw deal.
Nice segue. We'll touch on that.
We'll touch on that. Yeah. What is the other thing we sell on this program? Patreon. Marvelous. What else?
We sell Booktopia.
Booktopia. Use the link. If you're going to buy any book, basketball or otherwise, use the link in the description. We get 10%. And
no, Joe gets 10%. Again, I get nothing. I'm out.
You get plenty. Okay. I think they're all the wares we hawk. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with Luzada?
Yes, that's the hot news. Let's talk about Didi or Gigi.
Gigi.
I think that's the correct pronunciation.
My first dot point here is, huh? What? How has this happened? I mean, your reaction when you saw this?
Well, my reaction was like, yo, yeah, pretty much the same. You what? Really? On reflection, I've come up with a bit of a theory. I've got a working theory.
Give me.
But yeah, firstly, and I think I put a tweet out saying if DD can make the NBA, half the NBL roster should be in the NBA as well. Because he doesn't strike me as NBA quality, but I've got an idea. I've got a theory.
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear the theory.
So it's like if you've bought yourself a Tesla, okay, and you wait a long time for delivery of the Tesla, and then you get it, but it's not licensed, right? So you got to wait a bit longer for it to get licensed. Finally, it gets to the point where your Tesla is there, it's ready to go. And you think, well, in the meantime, I've been catching Ubers and that's working just fine. But I've got this Tesla. Let's give it a go. So you just jump in it and you just drive around for the fun of a Tesla, right? And you test it out and you're right, okay, that's what it's like. And then you decide if you're going to keep it or you're going to sell it and think Ubers are actually better and more functional for my lifestyle. I think that's what's going on here with the Pelicans. They've had this player signed up for 2 years. They're like, well, it's coming to the end of that 2-year deal, part of his draft contract. Let's see what we got. Is he any good? Mm. We don't think he is because we've seen him play in the NBL, but let's have a spin ourselves.
I'm even more cynical than you are. I read an article or saw their tax situation is right on the balance. Like they can't spend too much. They just had Isaiah Thomas, the really diminutive guard, just come off a 10-day contract. So for them to sign another player to fill that spot would cost them or take them over the tax. Didi's a first-year player, so he's not worth very much. So he plugs this hole that keeps them below the tax. They're out of the playoffs, I think so. They're kind of on the boil, but I don't think they're going to make it. So I think this is a clerical box-ticking event rather than thinking they have any sort of talent out of Didi. I don't know how you could look at him and say you've got even a – quasi-NBA rotational player. I don't think a lot of NBL clubs would be looking at him if he came off contract at the end of this year thinking, oh, let's make him a import. Certainly not an import, even if it was just a roster spot. I don't think they'd be extending that to him. I mean, he's a 3-and-D player who shoots 26% from the outside, from the FIBA line. And in the last game, I saw him intently play defense. He got absolutely torched by Bryce Cotton, who's, you know, NBA, the only NBA caliber or one of the few NBA caliber guys we have in the NBL. So I'm absolutely flabbergasted. But, you know, there's a positive here. I don't want to be all negative. The positive is, and the moral of the story is, even if that job is outside of your league, out of your league and out of your pay grade, apply for it. You never know what might happen out there.
That's right.
Didi's like the Trump of basketball. He's not qualified. He's going for it anyway. And I commend him for it, but I'm also skeptical.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see how much court time he gets and then what happens in that court time. It'll be enjoyable.
Dear,
I don't wish him any, you know, ill will. No. You know, this is not a slight on him. He's going to do the best he can do, you know. But I just don't think his best is good enough for the NBA.
Yeah, I concur. Not this stage anyway. In the future. No. I think I want to ask you a question about this as far as the Kings go. The Kings, have they learnt the lesson now that if you're a feeder team, you're going to get bitten or maybe even worse, eaten alive? They've lost Bowen, Tate, Weaver, now Luzada to the NBA. What does this relationship with the NBA give them back? Like, they're like, oh, you know, it means that players look at the Sydney Kings as a viable option to get to the NBA. Do you think that really invites top-level talent? Do you think someone like, we look at who the best players are in the NBL.
Yeah.
You know, Bryce Cotton, Casper Ware, Cam Oliver, you know, these guys didn't come to the NBL because they liked the look of the next stars and the way that was working. They came because of cold hard cash and opportunity and, you know, whatever else. So I don't know what the Kings get out of this quite close relationship they've got with the NBA. What do you think?
Well, I kind of think want to return to a phrase you used a couple of weeks ago, and I think I told you off for this, so I'm going to tell myself off afterwards. It's almost like the Kings are the NBA's cuck.
The cuck. You know, I had that written down. I had it written down. I have it right here. How does this DD to the NBA move help that team? Their priorities are askew. Being an NBA cuck doesn't make Sydney siders go through the turnstile. That's exactly what I've got written.
There we go. Wow. Opposite sides of the countries, but we see the game the same way.
Oh, dear. And that's it cuck does... with a U, by the way. Cuck.
Yes. Look it up. Yeah, Urban Dictionary or something.
Maybe don't look it up. But
I think that I think they like the idea of being a mover and a shaker, and you know they're making deals, they're talking to NBA things. I think it makes them feel big about themselves. I think it feels like they're in a bigger pond.
Mm.
Maybe you might suggest, you know, place to the ego. They've got Pongrass, who was formerly with an NBA team.
Grizzlies, yeah, that's right.
You know, like, so they've got NBA connections in that front office. And I feel like they're all just sort of play acting a little bit, like, hey, we're an NBA team as well. Look at us. We've got the big stadium that not many people turn up into. And we're kind of like the Australian Lakers. And I think that's the game they enjoy playing.
Yeah, I guess they do get a bit of an ego stroke out of this, but as far as team building goes, look at Jarrell Martin. I don't think Jarrell Martin went, ooh, Didi Luzada's come on at the Kings. I'm going to go there. I think he went because of the money. I think Cotton's at the Wildcats because of the money, and Casper's in Sydney because of the money. He would have happily gone to United or anywhere else had they paid him. So, yeah, I don't – yeah, that sort of NBA cuck, I'm not buying it. I don't think it helps people through the turnstile. And players leaving mid-season at the drop of a hat –
how do you build culture with that as well? I mean, they may like each other in the season, right? The players may, and that they all wish Didi good luck and everything. But yeah, it doesn't carry over to the next season. You lose it. That's what made the Wildcats good for so long. New Zealand had it going for a long time as well.
Melbourne for a time had that Casper Ware thing going and then blew that up for some reason.
Yeah, you need to have guys staying around for 2 or 3, 4 years to build something.
For sure.
Otherwise, corporate knowledge walks out the door.
Yeah, I don't get it. But anyway, good luck to Didi. Where do you want to go next? Do you want to quickly Cam Oliver? He's gone. Horrible set of circumstances.
He's gone.
Family stuff. Huge loss. I mean, it doesn't really, you know, change their season. I think they're destined for the bottom two. Maybe the bottom. Certainly bottom three at the very, very least.
Yep. Destroys NBA Bo top 10 highlights, man. Oh, what are we going to watch now?
Poor NBA Bo. He's just licking his chops. Not licking his chops, licking his wounds. Venky Joyce joins that team. I like Venky. And I think people are going to see a fair bit from him. Do you think he'll start? I'm looking at their team and I think he's going to have to.
Yeah, and Connor Henry's not coaching, so there's a good chance that he will allow his new player to actually get on the court. Why not, right? I just remember Venky Joy with Joyce. I'm not sure.
Joyce. Joyce, yeah.
With Melbourne, I think it was a few years ago, when he was sort of like end of the bench kind of player, but sort of came on, was really dynamic when he was on the court, trying to dunk everything.
He's got ups. I think he's a sort of Australian mix, Indian heritage, and he's a doctor as well, a fully trained doctor. So, Cans, you know, he gets two paychecks this way. You can tape him up as well as get on the court. I actually really like him. I'm excited to watch him play. And he's one of the few locals who's athletic, so which I like. Plays above the rim. So, I'm very excited to see Venky. Huge fan.
And did you see on Twitter today the photos of DJ Newball wearing Cairns clothes?
Big sort of hello and thank you to NBL News. I mean, that guy's he's all over Instagram, Twitter, and that. No player can put out.
He's a machine.
He's a machine. No player can sneeze without him finding it. He's unbelievable. I did see that. That was very, very interesting. I wonder. I mean, Cairns have got that import spot wide open.
Yeah. And look, I think it'd be cool, and it would resolve the issue of which import should they have chosen. They're just going to run, run Cam Oliver half season, DJ for half season, and there you go, you got your results. Scientific.
We're gonna come back to Cairns when we answer those 10 tough questions that Andrew Gaze answered on Brad and Boddy, and I think Andrew, you know, we're going with that.
Yeah.
Let's jump on. All right. Monkey Man Mods. He had a Twitter question for us, and it's about sort of NBL mid-season trades. I'm just going to my Twitter to bring it up now, and I'll read it's it cool out as best username. I can. Oh yeah, Monkey Man Mods. He makes a number of sort of NBA video game, and then he imports NBL players into it, and they're almost photorealistic. The guy's incredible. Definitely check him out.
I think I've seen his work. Yeah, it's like the 2K.
Oh, unbelievable. 2K mods. Yeah, exactly. So everyone out there, go and follow him on YouTube. You'll find him there. Okay. Topic to discuss is to do with NBL trade. Should the NBL teams be allowed to trade players mid-season up to a point like the NBA? He particularly quotes sort of looking at Sydney, how their roster's been depleted. This was before Lazada left. And then also Patterson sort of essentially being traded mid-season, sort of cut and then signed again.
Yeah.
I won't read out the full question, but that's the crux of it. I mean, I don't know how the NBL works with trades and things. I don't think that's ever going to really happen. And I do kind of like the idea that you have a team and you stick with it. In answer to that question as best I can, I want to throw an idea at you, Andrew, because we've often talked about this. How does the NBL product build upon or improve its sort of roster construction aspect? You know how the NBA is really great for this and trades,
yeah,
and speculation.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a huge part of the game
into itself. Yep.
It's a huge part of their sort of social media perspective or their social media profile. Here's my idea, and I want to tell me if you like this. So the only players you could really trade are younger players. Older players don't want that. You know, they don't want to be moving around. A player like Chris Golding in his 30s, he's happy in Melbourne. He's got a wife. He doesn't want to move.
Yeah.
But younger players, kids in school, so on and so forth. But younger players, like you look at someone like Sunday Dech, jumped from Illawarra to Adelaide this year, pretty transient lifestyle, early 20s, or I think he's mid-20s.
Yep.
So what my idea is this. As a player, you buy into a pool of tradable talent. So let's say you're younger guys, like Dan Greedy goes, I'll be willing to be traded, or Sunday Dech throws his hat in there, or maybe Carl Adnam's like, you know what, I'm young enough, and if I had to trade teams, you know. So you nominate whether you're able to be a movable player.
Yeah.
And then you get a little bit of a kicker for being available for that. Maybe you get a little extra cash on top of your contract. That's like a league thing. Yep. And then you can trade within that talent pool. Obviously, you'd need someone, if you're a team, you'd need your own player in that talent pool to then trade, but that would be the only way I could really do it, because I don't know how Australian law, contract law works, where you can't trade contracts. It's not something that's done here. That was my idea. What do you think?
It's a really good idea, and it's sort of similar along my sort of thinking. I try to think of some novel ideas and approaches to this as well. Yours is probably better than what I came up with, so well done, but we're on the same wavelength. You're right about Australian law and the contracts. It makes it really difficult. Like, it's the labour laws here just don't allow companies essentially to just pass people around. They're free to move their, you know, put their labor where they wish it to be. So yeah, but maybe you get around it with that you nominate and sort of it's a part of a game, and maybe you then have to be employed by the NBL rather than employed by the club or what have you. But I'm sure there's workarounds for that. I like the idea.
I think the other – oh, yeah, you go, Andrew.
I was just going to say my kind of idea was really along similar lines, but I was sort of thinking, could you create almost like a let's call it the Jeremy Kendall pool. And you have like a pool, and maybe we already have this, so maybe it won't work, but you have this pool of talent that you can draw upon that's agreed league-wide. Okay, we've got 7 Jeremy Kendalls, 10 Jeremy Kendalls, and you can just like draw on them and almost offer them like 10 days or whatever to just pull in, they drop back again.
How about this?
But it's league-wise.
How about this? Import restrictions are waived if the player is a member of the NBL 1. So I look at someone like Dylan Stith or Stith. He's coming out of Melbourne's team. Jeremy Kendall. Like, I think maybe if you're from there, you should be able to pick from that, you know, what is essentially the NBL G League.
Because they've shown commitment.
Without impunity. There should be no restriction to how often you can take from the NBL. Or maybe, you got your NBL affiliates. Or, yeah, I mean, that doesn't really help you. Like, in the case of, like, Luzada, say, going down or going away, you're not going to get starting caliber talent out of the NBL, but you'll get a replacement. But that's just one other idea I thought might be good. But yeah, I quite like that.
Yeah. There's some ideas there to work. I think we're all sort of pointing in the same direction though, and that's that we kind of need to shake up it'd be great to be able to shake up the player transients a little bit, you know, make players able to move if they wish. And because I think the Lamar Patterson thing's been fun this year. It's been added a level of intrigue. Like, okay, he didn't work out in New Zealand. Was it his fitness? Was it the fit of the club? Well, like,
he didn't look great in the last Brisbane game.
We've got our answer.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I'm excited for that. I mean, here's the other thing I'd say to Monkey Man. Just teams need to be more open with what they're doing. Right? I think if you want to create more buzz about roster moves, you don't need to change too much. All you have to do is just be more open about what you're doing. So, I mean, this Luzada news hit the news wire. You know, there was nothing from the Kings about announcing it beforehand. And in fact, I remember even Boddy and I having a chat on Twitter, and then it was something about an injury replacement or a player getting injured. No, it was about injury news surrounding the Kings. And I forget which player, but I think Boddy asked the question of the Kings and whatever, like, oh, that, you know, can we get an update as to if he's playing or not? And then Paul Smith, owner of the Kings, kind of came back at Boddy and said, like, oh, when it's a league-wide mandate that we have to, we will. And it's kind of like, he's right. He's absolutely right. He doesn't have to disclose that information, but it'd be good buzz. It'd be something to talk about. I don't see why, you'd have to be so cagey about it. So that would be one thing. So, for example, Lazada's gone. Kings could put out a thing saying, oh, you know, we're looking for a wing talent. We like a couple of, maybe not give out names, but just give out an idea, something. But, you know, in typical Kings fashion, we've heard very little. But I'm taking a shot at the Kings, but it's quite league-wide. Everyone's very superstitious and cagey about what they're going to do. So my advice to teams would be open it up. You know, this is the sort of 6th or 8th most popular sport in Australia. No one really cares. Except your fans, and why not feed them? Fill up the trough. Let us have a deep dive into the
speculation's swill. Fun, you know, like trying to guess the right player. Who are they looking for? Like, that's just fun. Fun and games. What's the harm?
What's the harm? Exactly. So that would be my advice. Where do you want to go next?
Good question. Just quickly, I want to talk on the heritage uniforms that came out. I was surprised.
I saw some of them.
I was surprised that we had a heritage round, actually. I didn't think that they would bother with any of this year, but I'm probably part of the deal with Champion. It's probably a contractual agreement there to do one. Because it seems like they kind of got chucked out in a hurry without much build-up or mention. But I thought I'd just make a few comments about the few that jumped out at me, and I don't know if you had a chance to see them.
I did. They look quite nice, some of them. Some were... Well, you go.
Yeah, so there was... four of them that I noticed, right? First, I'll say Melbourne United. Looking at that one, I was like, that looks like their uniform from about a year ago. So I don't know how much heritage is attached to, like, yeah. Chris Golding's going to still have one of those in his wardrobe. He doesn't need the heritage version of it because he's still right there. A bit weird. The Taipans as well, like, that looks like, I couldn't pick the difference. Like, if you put those two next to me, like their current uniform and their heritage uniform, and said which one are they playing in this season, I wouldn't have been able to tell you.
Well, no, I couldn't either.
And then Phoenix. Okay, they're calling it a heritage uniform, but basically it's the uniform they should have been wearing from the outset. It's
With the stripes.
It's green.
It is good, isn't it? I'm looking at it now. It's green with black pinstripes. Perfect.
But why was that not the original uniform? Maybe we blame First Ever for that. I don't know. But they need to bugger heritage, make that standard. And the Hawks. I thought the Hawks were cool. And I really I just want to see CJ Bruton wearing one of those again. Because that's kind of brings back memories of him hitting those baseline shots to win games and running around the court like a maniac and all those sorts of things.
Jump in here. Are there any of these uniforms that are worse, that aren't an improvement on the current ones?
That's a good way of putting it. I think
Adelaide's is an improvement. Brisbane's looks better. Cairns is the same. Illawarra's is better.
Oh, yep.
Melbourne's changes are obsolete. Perth, I do like the scratch marks.
Yeah, Perth, I get what they were trying to do with the Perth one, but they didn't pull it off with that mid-90s logo. That was a thing, but it's not well implemented. Phoenix is sticking with red.
Kings is just so much better.
Oh, so much better.
Whew. The Kings ones at present look like, you know, ones you get made up for a social team. That's great with the pinstripes and whatever and the logo. That's really good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that I don't know what that says, but, yeah, they're nice.
The only thing I can hope for this, maybe there's hope for this champion design going into next year. Maybe we'll see a real, I feel like this is their first effort to really show a bit more of their own design. It feels like these ones they're wearing this year are a bit kind of like just carrying forward what they already had. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
That's all. Buy one if you want one.
Do buy one, and they look nice, especially Brisbane's. I think that's a really good one. Yep. Let's jump on here. Let's talk about Illawarra. So, what is their? I think they're 12-13. Yeah, they're 12 wins, 13 losses. Lost a couple on the trot. I've got here the title of this, a new reaction. Illawarra and the curse of the regional team. And I want to talk about the way they've built their roster. Like, it just seems to me like they are trying to get blood from the stone, production-wise, out of that local front court talent. Bairstow, who's hurt. Ogilvy, who was, you know, iffy about whether he was going to return this year, talent-wise. Yep. And then young Sam Froling. And they're just kind of struggling to get just enough. Where do you see them at?
Yeah, to me, it strikes me that they intended to build around Dengadel, and the fact that he's turned into a complete and utter bust has just blown up their structure. Yeah. I think he was meant to be playing 35 minutes a game, 30 minutes.
And playing that sort of 3-4 when they went small. Yep. It hasn't happened.
And I feel like they're lucky that Sam Froling. They're lucky he's come along better than you would have expected.
Totally.
I think that to me is where the issues all stem from, and it just escalates out from there like ripples on a pond.
I agree with you. And they're lucky that Harvey's
you can't fault the guard play.
They're lucky that Harvey's been really, you know, MVP level. I'd say he's top five MVP voting, maybe top three.
And it's cooled off a little bit in the last few weeks, but I think that's a season issue.
I'd say by season's end, he'll be in the top five, though. He'll be in the top five. And that's, you know, if you get an import who's top five, that's really, really well done. Bairstow's injuries, you knew it was going to happen, but I think they thought they had enough if Dengadel and Sam could have patched it up. But I mean, Dengadel's just been unplayable. And I don't know what the issue is. He got hurt in the most recent game. So, but, you know, maybe that's a blessing. I mean, he's lucky he's a local. I mean, imagine if he was an import.
Oh, yeah.
I always signed this guy in the NBA. I mean, he would have been good. So he would have been gone so fast, his neck would be like the girl in The Exorcist, just snap right around so fast. I want to talk about their run home.
Before you go run home, sorry, I just want to say as well that Justin Simon, he's playing, he's good enough and playing well enough that you kind of got to keep him. But he's not the player they need right now, I don't think. If they could swap him out for a power forward,
that's the thing, wouldn't it? And we've criticized the way they built the team, but I feel like under the circumstances, being a regional team, and you can see that their spend isn't what Perth, Melbourne, Sydney, even New Zealand have spent, maybe even Cairns. You can see the risk they've taken where they're like, no, we're going to go a little bit smaller, play, you know, a real aggressive defense and be a real athletic team. And that's why they went with Dell and Dingerdell.
Yep.
And I actually like the risk. And Simon is a nice piece. Like he's guarded Cotton really well at moments. I thought they got tired and had to, against him in the game they lost in Perth, they were switching. So a pick would be laid and they'd switch. And then Cotton would end up on Dell. And it was just like, it was just mincemeat. He just absolutely killed Dingerdell. He had 1 point to halftime and he put in 8 points on Dingerdell in the last quarter. So I commend the way they built their roster. I think it's actually the way to go forward. You need, because bigs are obviously coveted over in Europe, they're expensive. You need to, you know, kind of play a bit smaller and just get blood from the stone from local big talent. So I don't hate what they've done. Let's look at their run home. Okay, they're 12 and 13, just outside the four, I believe. Here's their run home, and you tell me whether they're going to win or lose these games, okay? And we'll have their final I'll keep a pen here, and we'll be able to work out their final ending roster. All right, so they've got – the next game is Sydney at home. Win or loss?
Win.
At New Zealand?
Loss.
Adelaide at home?
Loss.
Wow. New Zealand at home?
Loss.
Melbourne at home.
Loss.
At Adelaide.
I'll give him a chance. I'll give him a chance to win that one. Just to muck it up.
Here's an interesting one. This is the game that's going to be killer. They play Cairns, but it's their third game within the one round. So it's probably their third game in like 5 days, 6 days maybe. Cairns, but it is at home. Cairns. With no Cam Oliver, surely. If they lose this one,
I'll give it to them as a win. Yeah, okay. You've got to say they'll win that.
New Zealand at home?
Home, that win.
Adelaide at home?
Give them a win as well.
Perth at home?
Guessing are so many seconds, the same team. Perth at home? That's a loss.
And then Sydney at home, another kind of must win. I bet this is going to boil down to a must win. Where do you have them?
Sydney, end of the season, I'll say they'll win.
They'll win it. Okay. Yeah. So I'd have Sydney, I'd have them splitting with Sydney and a few others. Anyway, you've got them finishing with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six wins, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6-5 the rest of the way, which takes them to 18-18. Is that good enough for the finals? That is
probably not.
Bubble. Probably not. But I think you've been a bit conservative there. I'd have them. Oh, geez, you've got them winning 4 games in a row there. I think they could lose that. They have to be ready for that game against Cairns, the third in the round.
Yep.
And then you've got them winning against Sydney at home in the last game. No, I think they're going to finish with a losing record.
It's interesting. And, a bunch of them against Adelaide, New Zealand. Like, you just kept reading Adelaide, New Zealand.
Adelaide's fine. You don't want to play New Zealand.
No, not at the moment.
They're a whole different team, even at home. And they've got New Zealand on the road. No, New Zealand at home, but... No, you don't want to play them, but got a lot of home games to end the season, but I don't know if that helps. I think they're right. They're in a bit of trouble. But Sydney have now lost Luzada, but I actually think Sydney get better without him. So I think they're going down to Sydney.
Muley gets all those minutes?
Well, Muley, Vasiljevic is gone too. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Who's their starting five now? It's Casper Ware, Jarrell Martin, Muley.
Well, hang on. Is Martin fit? Because he's not been playing much recently either. But we'll say he is.
Say he is fit.
Yep, sorry. So
who's their guard in their guard rotation? Who's healthy?
Sean Bruce. Who's the DP?
Oh, wow.
That's pretty thin. No wonder Casper got 40.
Yeah, right. No, yeah, Sydney.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much it.
What can Sydney do to improve their team? Who's available? Like Ethan Ruspatch.
Or Jeremy Kendall.
Jeremy Kendall. Well, that's the thing.
I'm not even joking, man.
If they can get Jeremy Kendall, are you kidding me? He'd be a perfect. A backcourt of Kendall, Bruce, and Ware is enough to help that team. Kendall's fearless. I love that guy.
Do it.
But here's the thing. Can you injury replace a local with an import if you're at your import thing? I for some reason thought you could, but obviously you can't.
But Didi's not an import. He's an ex-star.
Yeah, but Vasiljevic, they still haven't signed an injury replacement.
No, he's an Aussie, though. But he's just an Aussie.
Yeah. Yeah, but you could. That's my question. Can you replace a local with an import injury replacement? I thought there's different rules for injury replacement to whatever. Because would Stythe filled in for Prather? No, you can't do that, can you?
No, Kendall's no, you can't. No, they got. Oh yeah, because Kendall's an import, isn't he? I keep forgetting.
Yeah, it's so easy to forget. I know. Unless
he looks
naturalized.
Like such an Australian now.
Oh, totally. Unless he's
get
naturalized.
On that, Jeremy. You...
Yeah, come on. Hmm.
Doing himself out of a job.
I know, totally. So anyway, we've sort of gone from the Hawks into the Kings, but they're both New South Wales, so they need to do something. But they're not going to get rid of Casper Ware or Martin. But is Martin hurt? Can you bring in an import replacement for him? As could you bring Kendall in for Martin?
We're sort of moving into the topic we talked about, and this is sort of the run home. And you've talked about the Hawks. Now I sort of categorized. I made some notes, and I was like, who have I put a fork in?
Yes, I will ask you this. Who's done?
Okay, so I've got two teams as put, and this is before our conversation, I wrote these notes. I've said Cairns and Sydney, both done.
You're forking cool. Sydney?
I'm forking Sydney.
Wow. They're forked, is what you're saying.
Completely.
Man, Casper Ware, Jarrell Martin, they've still got the second best input duo in the NBA. NBL, sorry.
Yeah, if Jarrell Martin plays and
he'll
stays
play.
Out of foul trouble. Nah, they'll get
the rest are all complimentary pieces. You think so? I'm not big on depth. I think it's a 40-minute game. Casper Ware can play 38. Martin can play a bit. They've still got Newley. Jordan Hunter's a decent piece. Who else is on that freaking team? Who's
Moller.
Left?
Moller, kick it.
Moller can give you kick it. I think there's enough there. I just don't like the other teams. But sorry, I interrupted. Go on.
No, that's all right.
And you're they've been forked for a long time.
Cairns and Sydney, right? So that's it for me. Have you forked? Who would you fork?
I originally forked Brisbane, but now I'm back on them because they got all these imports. and Sydney lost talent, and you know, so I'm have to recant on that. When they lost Law, I just thought he was the fun piece of their team that held it all together. Now I just see Sobey and Patterson not being able to share the ball much like they didn't do last year.
So you're forking Cairns.
Forking Cairns. I'm forking Adelaide.
You are?
I'm forking Adelaide.
Okay.
They win these games by pure fluke. I still hate them. I can't. No.
All right.
Josh Gidd, when they lost that game, who'd they lose to? Cairns. That was a big fight back from Cairns. It was triple-double. Body wrote this in the article. It was triple-double watch rather than win watch. And I'm not going to support that sort of stuff. No interest. So I'm forking them. Who's in the next tier for you?
All right. My next tier is on the bubble.
Right. You've got Adelaide on the bubble, Andrew Canyon.
No,
come
I
on.
Don't. No, I've created a third category for Adelaide. Don't you worry about that.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Who's on the bubble?
On the bubble, I've got Illawarra and Brisbane. Brisbane, because I think the import will come in. They've just got that chance to hang in there, hang tough. And
they are a good team. Like, they've got Hodgson, Sobey, Patterson, and then this new import. And Kadee's real – like Kadee, I mean, Sydney would kill for Kadee right now. A lot of teams would kill for that guy. So, yeah, they're back in the mix. I think Brisbane – who do you have higher, Brisbane or Adelaide? Brisbane or Illawarra?
I've got Brisbane higher than Illawarra.
Yeah, I do
there's,
now.
At least just, there's tremendous upside potential for the Brisbane Bullets.
Yeah, but they've got an import. You know. They've got a brand new import. Yeah, they're always fun. Next category?
On the rise. All right. You sound underwhelmed by that. You wanted something better?
Sorry. No. I'm just like, where's Adelaide? I'm just still got Adelaide in my mind. I'm like, where are you putting them? Sorry, on the rise.
I'm putting Adelaide and New Zealand on the rise. Kind of like the team you don't want to meet right now are those two, right?
If you say so. New Zealand, yeah, sadly. I can't get on it. Can't do it.
But if you think you plug Humphreys back into the team.
He's not coming back. Is he coming back?
I reckon he will. I reckon he's suddenly looking at it and going, oh, yeah, Brandon Paul. Yeah, Jack McVay's starting to heat up. Maybe we could... DJ's scoring. There's opportunity.
Yeah. I see it all, but I don't. Yeah, but tell me about New Zealand. Like they're playing well. McDowell White seems too up and down for me, and they left their run too late. This is the second year in a row where they've left their run too late.
They have.
What's their record at? You got their record in front of you?
Yeah, they're 7-14. Just on the rise. I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs. Yeah, I'm saying they're on the rise. Maybe on the rise is a bad. Maybe I should say don't want to meet. That might be a better description for them.
Either or, I understand what you mean.
Yeah, so I just think New Zealand, and that Levi Randolph looks pretty good.
Yeah, he seems to look good.
Play within himself, doesn't try to do anything he's not capable of. I like it. I like him a lot.
Iverson's starting to get minutes. I'm sort of up and down on him, but I mean, if you've got an import, you've got to play him, you know, especially with Rob Lowe kind of in and out at times. So I don't hate it. They're a fun team. They're starting to find their smile a bit. It has coincided with the Websters taking a seat. Just throwing that out there. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. They're winning games and the Websters aren't playing as much. What can I say?
They've got a point guard who's distributing the ball. God, crazy stuff.
And then you've got quite a cemented top four then.
The top four is, almost down to that. Of the cemented top three as it stands, basically. Melbourne, Perth, South East.
Yeah, Southeast. Remember there was like, I remember I picked them for the top four. I was like, oh, a bit interesting. But I got a bit lucky with teams getting hurt. Who's going to finish fourth? So those three are a lock, right? Lock.
Yeah. Well, based on everything I've said, I'd probably have to say it's going to be Brisbane. But I think it really comes down to Brisbane or Illawarra.
I think it's going to... Oh, jeez. I think it might just be Illawarra. They got that many. They got such an easy run home. I don't know who Brisbane have got left on their schedule because Brisbane played Adelaide a lot to start the year. They played Adelaide and Cairns a lot to start the year, if I'm not mistaken. So they've probably got a much tougher schedule. Whereas Illawarra, they've got, tough. For Illawarra, it's going to come down to those two games. Sydney at the end of the year, which was a Casper Weir steal game, a game he could steal. And then when they play Cairns, when they're tired, they have to win those two. The ones they should win, and they're the ones that keep them with a 50-50 or winning record. So good luck. Oh, man.
Fun times ahead.
Totally. And let's jump on.
Yes.
Wildcats. Wildcat
Worries. Oh, you can do Wildcats. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let's do this. Wildcat Worries. Cottons look bad. Looks really tired.
Yep.
What's your, out of 10, what's your kind of Wildcat Worry meter?
Okay. Well, I should disclose I went to both. I used to be a season ticket holder for the Wildcats, full disclosure, for many, many, many years. Gave it away. But I still get to games occasionally. And this week I was able to go to both the games. So I was able to get a bit of a closer look at things than what the TV provides. Cotton looks buggered. The whole team just looked gassed, really, and a bit over it. I even did the total fanboy thing. I went to the after session, you know, like meet the players afterwards. I always feel like a bit of a doof doing those sort of things. So I didn't really interrogate anybody. I just said, g'day, and can I have a photo? And my kid went around getting autographs. But nice. they just look worn down, really tired.
But here's what I put out in a tweet. 5 games in 10 days, going from Perth to Sydney, Sydney to Adelaide, Adelaide to Tasmania, Tasmania back to Perth. They went 3-2 in those 5 games. That's a winning record as opposed to most teams that don't have that luxury.
I mean, that right there, that's more travel than Melbourne United will do all season.
Yeah, well, let's talk about this a little bit in the same conversation. I did see that stat. James Valerio, I hope I'm pronouncing his surname correctly, put out that. And it was pretty shocking when you look at it. It's like Melbourne have played 3/4 of the games at home. Jesus Christ. But the Cup, and part of me was like, well, the Vic government supported the Cup, and that's
the cup was a cup. Like, just I would exclude that from any statistical analysis.
I see the Cup as like camp, You know, like every team was living there. No team had a real advantage. I honestly believe that. I don't think it was that. The crowds were shite no matter which game you went to. There was no atmosphere. Yeah. It was right as COVID was like, people were still kind of, should we, shouldn't we? Crowds didn't help anyone. They were living in sort of a camp. They were playing that often that, the travel, rest, it was the same for everyone. So no, I'm not having a huge problem with that. I haven't looked at Melbourne's run home. Apparently it is again favourable. But, that's the other thing as well. Perth is on the other side of the country, but Melbourne have another team in their state. They're going to play them.
Yeah, it does help a lot, yeah.
Yeah, so it just means that when they play them 3-4 times a year, they don't travel. So, it is what it is, If Perth had a second team, which I think they probably could sustain, then we'll talk. But,
I've stirred up. But, look, there's also a lot of variables that we don't know about, like venue availability and flights.
COVID.
I would hate to be doing fixturing, so, it's... It's hard to believe that the NBL could orchestrate such a conspiracy.
I think it's like this is basketball, man. Like it's not AFL guys get hit really hard. Like if you can't play 2-3 times in a week consistently with a bit of travel, like come on now. This is an androgynous game. It's for everyone. I want to go back to the Wildcats. Man, Clint Steindl's a worry for me. Has he had a good game this year yet? Have I missed it?
Not that I can recall.
That sort of, 18.6 threes from the out, six from the outside, or 12-point game, 4 of 5, blew open a quarter. I haven't seen it, and I'm very worried about it because they need him in a 5-game playoff series to have one of those 15-plus point games at a high clip. And well, we're now 20-some games through the season, and we haven't seen it.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure it's coming. It's gone back to the Clint Steindl of a couple of seasons ago.
Such a fluky
player,
I think he might be hurt, but still, find your feet, man. Just catch and shoot. That's all you got to do. But luckily, Blanchfield's playing pretty well, so he's kind of filled that role. I thought
he's playing real well.
I got egg on my face because by season's end, I thought it'd be the other way around. I thought Steindl would be encroaching on Blanchfield's minutes right now. The two are not even close, not on the same plateau.
Yeah. Look, the thing that would be worrying me if I were a Wildcats fan, the thing that would be worrying me would be their front line. I think what we're seeing is an over-reliance on a guy like Jared Bairstow. Like, bless his cotton socks, but he was not in the league. It was a late call-up, And then they've got Tom Jervis, who came out of retirement as sort of a
2 years removed from the game.
It's really starting to show at this point as fatigue kicks in as well. They were so... You just know that they had Miles Plumley lined up months ago, right?
He's been poking around the country.
The cotton citizen. The Wildcats probably funded his holiday for the past 3 months, just keeping him around.
Possible.
It just seems like they were so certain that cotton citizenship would get done and dusted and roll Miles in, and there's your front line sorted.
Because they looked like Colton Iverson, so big, so strong. He was just – Mooney couldn't jump over him.
No.
He certainly couldn't, stand up next to him. So that was an issue for him big time, especially with such a slow-paced, grounded team like the Wildcats. And it showed. But, so few teams have that. The thing is you're not going to meet New Zealand in the playoffs, so it doesn't matter. Melbourne don't have that. They've got Landau. Mooney can shift Landau like he's
– True, yeah.
Shifting an IKEA coffee table, it's no problem. So just lightweight chipboard, move him out of the way. But still, it's interesting there. Let's jump on to something else. I don't suppose you want to hear about my meeting with Larry Kesselman.
Oh, this is only the segment I've been waiting to hear about for like a week.
Just hold on while I stroke myself under the table, self-promotion. But beautiful office, really nice vista. You would have loved it.
Views over the Melbourne Park. Harbour or something? Right,
Melbourne Park. Okay. Golf course and that. It's beautiful. Small world. As I was walking up King Queens Road, I bumped in, I saw all the Brisbane Bullets coaching staff piled into a hire car at the satellites. I was going to whip out my phone and take a photo or wave. I just thought, I got to go about myself. I'm not doing this. But I did laugh to myself. I thought, what a small world. I won't go into detail what we spoke about, but, basically just about, what the league could do highlights-wise. There's talk of doing I don't know if I can go into it, but...
You probably shouldn't.
Yeah, that's probably
pretty Don't fair. Go into detail.
But here's what I'll say about the whole thing. Larry Kesselman, man's worth a lot of money, took the time to sit down and speak with me for an hour about what I do with this podcast, what we do with this podcast, Andrew,
amazing,
and how he can help us, how we can help him. And I thought that was really classy. And he was civil, businesslike, and I enjoyed his company. I really did. We had a lot of laughs and play. Big EPL fan. So that's good. But, you know, he's got some critics, Kesselman. And, you know, maybe his business manner would sort of detract people or deter people. It didn't deter me, but whatever. But I'll say this. I've reached out to pretty much everyone in the NBL sphere about having the chats, whether it be on camera or off. Yeah. Most have been pretty good about it. But, you know, all of Kesselman's biggest critics I've approached, and they've all haven't given me their time. And Kesselman's worth a lot more money and could easily fly over my head. But he took the time and I appreciated it. And, you know, hopefully some of the things we spoke about come into action. We shall see.
Well done, Joe. And like that, yeah, well done for having the gumption to meet with him. And well done, Larry, for talking to our man, Joe.
Just a basketball podcast. I here's what I stressed to him. I did say Elam ending, it's got to happen.
Yep.
And I said, look, the Korean League do it already. And he was like, oh, they do. I said, yeah, they do. And I'd say, go and look at how the broadcast works for that Korean League. It's more predictive about timing length of the fourth quarter because you don't have hugely long burnout kind of games.
Yep.
That was amongst other things, that's what was said.
Yeah, look, if there's one thing that comes out of your meeting, if it's the Elam ending, if that's the only thing that you get out of this meeting, success. Then fantastic. It's a success. Yes, indeed.
And my advice to people who, you know, want to do something in the NBL sphere, don't piss and moan. Don't get on Twitter and do whatever. Ask for what you want, and odds are people will give it to you. And don't be surprised when you don't get what you want if you don't ask for it. If you don't ask for a meeting, you're not going to get a meeting. If you don't ask for the press conferences, you're not going to get in the press conference. Do ask what you want. Don't be a cuck. that's the NBL Poker Podcast word of the day, cuck. Let's jump on. That's enough of an ego stroke there. What else do we have here? We've got the questions. Let's talk about this Players Association thing.
Oh, yes. News just out of today, right?
So, yeah, and before we do this, I just want to quickly go and look at attendances, right? What kind of money is the NBL making? Now, money the NBL makes is impossible.
Making?
Yeah,
okay. That's an optimistic view of it.
When I say money, I certainly don't mean profit, I mean revenue.
Revenue, yes, yep. Well done.
What revenue is the NBL generating? Better way to put it. So I had a look at attendances, right? Because that's their big moneymaker, quote-unquote.
Yep.
And look at this. So looking at a couple of teams, and I didn't have a chance to look at this too in depth, but I did. All right. So Perth had 11,000 people at their last game. They had an average of 6.5 last year, which I thought was low. I thought they'd get 10,000 every game. But
6.5, that can't be right.
I've got 180,000. That was a number given to me by Nick Johnson about the total attendances for home games last season. That can't be right, though.
Hang on, 180,000, that's across the whole league or just the...
That's 180,000 for every home game for the Wildcats last season.
Oh, for the Wildcats? No, that's not right.
That can't be right. 6,500, I thought.
It's plus 10,000.
But did they have a game? Did they host a game in a regional town last year? Didn't they do that one year? Or didn't they... anyway, it's always 10,000. This is what I thought. Anyway, all I've got is my numbers, Andrew. I can't.
Okay.
But Perth had 11,000 at their last game, 6.5 last year. If that average is correct, it's up. Melbourne United last year had an average of 4,200 per game. They had 3.8 at their last game. And that would be down. Now, while you're thinking about these numbers and the dip or the dive or the up or the down, think about the cup and how meager those attendances were. Like some games were, you know, 1,500 people, maybe less. Sydney, 5.2K last year, this year. 5K last year. And in their last game, they had 5.2. Now, that was a weekend game. So that was their blue ribbon chance to get people in. And they just hit their average from last year. So imagine when they're playing weekdays. You take a couple of thousand off that number. Southeast Melbourne last year averaged, I don't have their average, typical. But they only got 2,500 at their last game. And I think that was pretty much on brand for where they were last year. So You think about the fact
that Heartland. I thought the Heartland was like basketball home.
Heartland, a little bit further south on the human body. But what I find interesting here is, so they're just skimming around the averages, and that's I've gone with averages against actual games, and I've taken all from last weekend, which is their best chance. So they're just coming in under average on a weekend. So then think about the weekday days, then think about the cup. So when we talk about this wage cut that's happened and what's going on, like, you know, where's the revenue? Where's the money to pay the players if they're upset? I don't know if you saw the basketball show with Shane Heal and Joe Healy,
but no,
they spoke about this a little bit. Really interesting. What was your reaction when you saw the article?
Well, I thought that the 350K. So first of all, it sort of led me back to thinking, okay, so contracts must expire, employment contracts expire at the end of this month. Is that how it's working? And therefore, like, they just are unemployed. Like, it's a it's a weird thing if they're on. It's just a weird contractual situation to be in, I would have thought. And so, if you don't want to play and you're not contracted, why would you turn up? So this money is there to offset that, right? But 350K,
yeah,
across 350K, however many people are on the 1 year deals. Let me just do a
quick sum here. 9 teams by 11 roster spots. So let's call that 100 players.
It's not every player, is it? It's just the ones with expiring terms.
But let's say 80% of the league, right? That's pretty fair estimate, don't you think?
Okay.
So 80 of the 100 players, that's $4,500 each.
Well, that's not going to go far.
No, it's not, Andrew. No, it's not going to go far. So, wow, when you've already taken a cut on top of that. So when you look at that 300,000, 350,000, it's like, oh, no. And then you're like, hang on.
That's almost like if somebody hands you $4,500 to live on for the next 2 months, you kind of, now, you know, I'm speaking from a position where I'm lucky enough to have a job and pays me okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not on Centrelink payments or anything. So take this with a grain of salt. But if they're workers, they're being paid a certain amount of money. Somebody gives $4,500 for the next 2 months. You kind of just want to throw it back in the face and say, you can stick your $4,500 where the sun don't shine.
And that's the thing. Which of these teams is really going to fall off as a result of that? And you look who's motivation, who's local heavy that are going to be snake bit by this. And you look at sort of like a Brisbane team, Sobey, Hodgson, Kadee, they're going to be reeling from it. Southeast Melbourne a little bit, Creek, Brokoff perhaps, maybe he's on a new deal. You know, those guys. So
isn't everybody in Illawarra basically on a 1 year deal?
Everyone in Illawarra is on a 1 year deal. But you look at the teams that aren't going to be hurt. I mean, Cotton signed his 3 year deal. He opted out of his contract. He's getting paid, so their best player's taken care of. Mooney's still taken care of. And you know, a couple of local guys who are in a pretty good position regardless. So just in your thinking about tips out there, people, like, think about that, where there are certain teams that are sitting okay.
Personal motivation. Interesting. What's this going to do for Deng Adel's game? Jesus. He's gonna.
You are a horrible man. So that's what's going on. Players wouldn't be too happy about it, I'm sure. Bad situation. Let's talk about.
And fair enough. That's really weird. It's a really weird situation, and I hadn't even considered it until I saw this article. Like, you sort of assume, well, they're playing. They must be under an employment contract. It's really weird.
That's another thing on Cam Oliver. Technically, Cairns have waived him. He is technically out of contract. That contract is null and void right now. So there's a sort of handshake and unspoken agreement that he'll return, but he has been technically waived off that contract. Just a side note. But yeah, I mean, the other thing is, what other sports have really taken this huge hit with money? You know?
It's hard to notice any others that have suffered as much. I'm sure there are, but of the major codes in Australia, you don't really notice it. Everybody else has corporate support. And that's what basketball doesn't have in a big way. They got Kmart and Bunnings, but don't buy the hype. I don't think there's that much money attached to it.
No, neither. So, interesting situation. We'll see how that plays out. Andrew, we're done with most things. Illawarra, Kesselman, Monkey Man, Cam Oliver, Wildcats. Let's go on to these 10 questions that Brad Rosen and Body Notch had for Andrew Gaze on the Brad and Body podcast. Subscribe now. We got a really good... producer attached to that, by the way. Forget his name. All right. Tough questions for you, and we'll each answer them. You go first. And I've sort of paraphrased these. Fire Mike Kelly, yes or no?
No.
Really?
Oh, is that? Do you want a yes or no? Is this yes or no? Do you want a quick justification?
Yeah, I want a justification on that particular one for sure. Because I'm saying I think the time is up, man. He's had two different teams. He's had good teams, and they're just not performing.
I totally get that. And if they did fire him, I wouldn't be surprised. storming the headquarters and saying give him his job back. But I think if you split the difference, he's sort of down the line. You know, you look at most records of most winning coaches, and a really successful coach is usually at about 60%. You know, he's had 2 years. Give him a third year.
I just don't see. It'd be different if they were bad and then a little bit worse and then a little bit better now. But the fact they've gone bad to good to bad again, I'm like, well, what impact are you having on this? And I like Mike Kelly as a guy, but this is sports. It's hard stuff. So I would go the opposite to you on that one. Should Kyle Adnam, question two, should Kyle Adnam get a contract upgrade? Is he a legit starting guard in the NBL?
He'd be a legit starting guard for a regional team, maybe. Not a big market team.
Could you be a playoff contender with Kyle Adnam as like the linchpin of your backcourt?
No, he's too small. He can score the ball, but he can't defend.
And that's what creates his inconsistency. He had a couple of really good games there. I think the other day he went 0-8.
Yeah.
You can't do that. As a top line guard, you can't have a day off. And I know we've just talked about Cotton having off days, but it's different. Cotton hangs around a game, whereas Adnam can get totally blown out of one, I think, anyway.
Yeah.
Next question. William McDowell White or Josh Giddey, who's the more advanced basketball player right now? Gaze said Giddey, just by the by.
Yeah. Who am I to disagree with Gaze? I think he's right. I mean, Giddey's showing a lot of – he's showing everything you probably want to see. He's showing great passing. His shooting's getting better all the time. He looks in control out there. McDowell White looks fine, but he's not a showstopper.
No, I actually went with McDowell. I just think he's got a better body. I think he could hold up to a season longer. I know the question is who's a better basketball player today. I think McDowell White for these reasons. Giddey's been there all year. It's been very he's been like the princess and the pea. It's been very, very soft landing, a lot of cushions. McDowell White, fly you in, fly you out, 2 weeks quarantine, the teams have flipping mess. Dan Shamir's a coach he's probably not used to. You know, I'm not saying Connor Henry's one used to either, but you know, Giddey, it's kind of like the runway was set. McDowell White, he's jumping on a running treadmill. So I think if both were in the same circumstances, I think McDowell White would present himself. He looked poor to start things, but I think that's why. That's my answer anyway.
That's a good next question, though. Like, that is points a good for question. That question. I think Boddy came up with it.
So well done, Boddy. Question four. Is Trevor Gleeson underrated or is he in a no-fail position in Perth?
Do you want to answer this one first?
I do. I've got an episode coming out with Joey Wright later this week. And when I asked him about how do you beat Bryce Cotton and that, he didn't really have a strategic answer for me. He just said, like, he's really good and we beat him because we had a more talented team that year. You know, that just was his answer. So I think that, I oscillate on this one. I go back and forth. But, I mean, Perth is a pretty no-fail situation. They spend the most in a league that has a soft salary cap. Simple equation. You spend on talent, you're a better team. There's no miracle work going on here. However, Gleeson, that year they won with the two imports. That was a minor miracle. You know, they came up against good teams and got there. So, no, I think Gleeson's underrated. And I think it's for this reason. I think people not just think Perth as being a no-fail position, but I think they also look at Perth with ire. People really hate Perth in this league.
They do.
They really hate the Wild and resent their success and just resent their spend and who they are and the distance. Distance does not make the heart grow fonder. It makes them grow more bitter and hateful. They really hate the Wildcats. Yeah. So I think he's underrated.
I think he is underrated. I think he's underrated too. I think with a big market team with money and expectations comes that crud load of pressure.
Yeah, right.
And
right. It's his own pressure.
Yeah, just this pressure. And the pressure of their final streak, what is it, 35 seasons or whatever we're up to now, of, you know, making the playoffs every year. That is an intense amount of pressure to walk into with every season. No other coach has to deal with that. And there's just this, you know, you lose one game and it's like, oh, geez, what's happening? You know, like that's intense. So for him to get the most out of his players that he's had and to keep turning up week after week and getting results, running an unfashionable system as well.
Yeah, very.
Like, talk about sticking to your guns. So I think, yeah, underrated.
And the other thing I want to say on this as well is other coaches would get in their own way. Gleeson, what I like is he doesn't get in his own way. He plays his best players a lot and he plays them in a simple system that is aimed towards their best player, Cotton.
Yep.
Dean Vickerman couldn't do that. Dean Vickerman would get flirty with rotations. He loves to do that, you know. So all the other good coaches, you know, these other coaches don't do the real simple things to put them in position, whereas Gleeson does. And, I mean, here's the other thing as well. Gleeson was charged with replacing Nick Kay and went out and got John Mooney. Despite having probably all the money in their back pocket in the world to make that fix, you got to find that guy. You got to find him. You got to go to Notre Dame. You got to make sure he's willing to sign. You got to see that hitch in the jump shot and go, no, we can work with that. And everybody else, no one else in the landscape thought he was good. They signed him and everyone's like, that's their guy? They're not going to make him a next star? Or and, you know, Gleeson had to put his reputation on that. If that bombs, a kid out of college, he is a kid out of college. He's 23 years old. That takes foresight that, you know, how often do coaches whiff on their imports? Look at this. Like, you need to get your imports right. And look, Melbourne haven't quite done it this year. Sydney, yeah, pretty good. Actually, very good. New Zealand, they've had to make a change. Brisbane, they've had to make a change. Adelaide, they've had to make a change. Now, the money's different, but, Mooney, I wonder what he's on because, you know, Jarrell Martin would be getting paid more than Mooney. Would be my, I would think that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's... Yeah, the recruiting is important. Question five, why the hell isn't Bryce Cotton in the NBA? Man, there's a story here, and I spoke to him for the podcast, and I wanted to ask him, why weren't you in the NBA, and what have you done? Who have you slept with? Who have you pissed off? What have you done? Because there's something going on here. There's a politics at play, but I did pose the question to you, Andrew. What do you think?
I think it's, at this point now, a few years on, I think it's just a situation, a lifestyle, situational choice. Like, you can be a big fish in a small pond, or you can be a very, very small fish in a huge pond, getting shuffling around the United States and living a, you know, out of a suitcase. And I think he's just gonna bugger it. I've got a kid. I've got, you know, I'm happy. And I think that's what it comes down to. So, that's my main reason. A few years ago, I would have said, just bad circumstance. He's maybe 2 inches too short. Hey, the guy's a midget, man. I did that thing of talking to him or standing next to him with getting a photo the other night. I tower over the guy. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's pretty small. I mean, at a time where like positional size at those positions, like you look like Ben Simmons is the prototypical small and Giddy's the prototypical small now. Like he's come along at a very, very bad time for small guards.
Yeah.
20 years ago, he would have been better served. But
oh, you think about when Allen Iverson was playing and all that kind of stuff. He would have
Allen Iverson, right, Avery that. Johnson, Eric Snow, you know, these types of guys. Derek Fisher wasn't, he was strong, but he wasn't hugely tall. I think there's an element of that too. Question six, what does Sydney do now without Didi? We kind of touched on this. Like, I don't think he's that big a hit. I really don't. I don't think he was a good player. So why are we fussing? They'll find someone else to fill his spot and it'll be Brad Newley.
Brad Newley played better than him most of this season. More minutes for Brad.
I agree. Can the Breakers make the four from here?
No.
They're too far behind. And I haven't looked at their run home, but they have to be just perfect.
On point.
They have to win every game. That doesn't happen, man. This is a league where anyone can win at any time. They can lose to Adelaide. They have lost to Adelaide. They can lose to Cairns if they're not careful. No, they did it again. Second year in a row where they haven't worked it out.
I wouldn't want to play them, though.
No. Oh, no. Definitely not. But as far as finals go, I mean, Perth, Melbourne, and Southeast Melbourne are there, and they're right there with the – they're just too far behind. Even though they're going to New Zealand, that doesn't help them too much. It just means when they go on away games, they're traveling even further. Next question, number 8. Who's the bigger, more significant loss, Oliver or Luzada? And let's go significant loss to their respective teams. Oliver out for Cairns. Nothing changes, man. They're losing, right?
Yeah. I mean, this. I don't think. Yeah, they're going to lose anyway. I think Oliver, just because he was kind of a bigger piece to their play. You know, you're filling quite the hole. Whereas Didi, well, what you having to replace in defense, and if he was playing against the Wildcats, he would hit shots, and if he was playing against anybody else, he wouldn't. So,
Wildcats at home. Didi, I don't get it, man. I think, yes, he's a body, and yes, they're down. But, yeah, it'll be someone else. It'll be an extra 10 minutes for Sean Bruce, an extra 10 minutes for Newley.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. Question 9. This one, I don't know if we can answer this so well, but will the Olympics be going ahead and will Simmons be playing? And I'll answer it this. I'll jump in quickly to give you time to think about it. But if Simmons is not playing in this Olympics, and it's not a result of a crossover with the NBA schedule. And I mean, if the NBA schedule ends and he's got a week or 2 weeks break, that's enough for him to get to the Olympics in my book. Mm-hmm. If he's not playing in this Olympics, there is something seriously rotten within Basketball Australia that's deterred him from playing, something off the court. And I will be sniffing around like a basset hound. Because if you are the Australian Basketball Australia product and you can't deliver Simmons, that is the first hurdle. That is a monumental failure, and it would stink to high heaven. And I'll be all over it. So unless, of course, they're playing at the finals at the same time, well, of course he won't play.
Yeah.
But if there's enough time for him to have a sandwich, a lay down, and get to Tokyo, and he doesn't make it, then yeah, I'll be all over that.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I expect he'll play. I expect some sort of Olympic tournament to go ahead. For what it's worth, it'll probably
be it'll be this weird, pathetic, closed doors.
Yeah,
it'll be bizarre in Tokyo.
I think he'll get to the end of it and be like, "What was like? Why did we get so worked up about that for so long? Like, we should have planned it. That was sad." I think if the tournament happens, Simmons will be there. And you're right, if he isn't, I mean, obviously they can't pay him. So it's got to be, you've got the culture right and you've got the messaging right for him to want to be a part of it.
This is what Joey Wright and I kind of talk about. We spoke weeks and weeks ago, but the episode's coming out Thursday. We kind of said, we didn't actually speak about it, but I kind of had the thought, man, Joey Wright, I just think he would have been a good Boomers coach. He's a lot younger than Gorgian. He's a tournament kind of coach. Like, I don't think you could ever go into a game underwhelmed with him or not prepared. And then, you know, he's African-American, he's young or younger. You know, I just think he'd speak to that sort of Simmons, Thibault, but also, you know, the Australian talent. He's coached most of the Australian talent.
Yep.
Like Creek and Golding, and then sort of your upper echelon as well. Gorgian was a look. What do you think? If you're Ben Simmons, are you like, oh, I want to play for Gorgian? If you're Ben Simmons, would you be more enthused about playing for Joey Wright or playing for Brian Gorgian?
Without knowing his mind, I would say Joey Wright. The only thing that might change his mind is because of his dad and the connections with Melbourne and Gorgian and, you know, running through those Melbourne systems. So he's probably already knows him to an extent. So maybe that's okay.
That's a very good point, actually.
Part of me does still see that the Gorgian appointment was an oh shit moment. Like, we lost Brett Brown. It was like, we need a guy stat. Gorgian, he'll, you know, the media know who he is. It's an easy sell.
It's a safe hire.
Nobody's going to
say no one in HR is getting fired over that hire. Nah, no one's like, Brian Gorgian, what were you thinking? No, that moment's not happening.
Yeah. So,
yeah. All right.
I shall say, what's the last question? Is there another question? Is that it?
No, they were a two-parter. Will the Olympics go ahead and will Simmons be playing 9 and 10?
Okay, right. Okay.
And that brings us to the end of our broadcast day. That's it, Andrew. We're done.
Play the anthem. Should say we've probably gone a little bit longer than what we normally do, but we've been absent from your podcast player for a little while. So
we have. We missed last week. So this is really a half-hour episode.
Yeah, that's right. And look, if you appreciate what we've given to you, give back.
Yeah.
Through Patreon. Yeah. Booktopia, buy a copy of Marvelous.
More importantly, buy a copy of Marvelous for the
get him out of his house.
God, yeah, listen to this. Listen, everyone. That's just one copy. I got 1, 2, 3, 4. I think I've got either 4 or 5. It's resting on top of another book. Please.
Come on. Get... How long do we have to shill these books for? It's a good book, right? Somebody out there has to read.
It's a really good book. And I've got 5 copies. And, you know, I've got one as a doorstop. I'm honestly, at this point, I'm like thinking about putting
how much you're selling in these for? How much are they going for?
Oh, they're like $30, I think.
$30? Like, that's
you
nothing.
I bought a secondhand copy. I got in touch with Body. I was like, I'd like to buy a copy of your book. He's like, yeah, sure. I'll get one too. 6 months passed, didn't get one. I thought, screw it. I'll just buy one on eBay. Cost me like $50, $60 secondhand. My copy says, to Steve, love your son. Happy Father's Day, 98. These ones are mint condition, and all they have written in them is best wishes, Brett Maher, number 5, signed by the man himself.
There you go. So even if you don't want the book, buy it and sell it again. Arbitrage.
Yeah, you could sell it for $60. I'm telling you now. Just, out there, you fools.
Come on. Anyway. Help us out. Come on.
All right. Yeah.
Do the right thing.
Closing out. Follow us at Twitter at NBL Pocket Pod. At Andrew Kenyon.
Yeah, yeah. I deleted Kenyon. That was a fit of fury a few years ago. Still angry about that. Shouldn't have done
that. And then follow Monkey Man Mods. Thank you for your question.
Yes.
People out there who are still sort of wanting to but tentative about sending us a recording of themselves with a statement about the league, just do it. Voice record it and do it. I can edit it and make you sound good. Don't worry about it. You're going to be all right. Subscribe to Brad and Body, the Brad and Body podcast. That's coming out weekly.
Yep.
They had Andrew Gaze. That came out today, I think. And outside of that, Andrew, you got anything else you want to hawk, sell, say?
No, just talk to us on Twitter and do send a voice message. I hate the sound of my own voice, and I'm sitting here doing all these podcasts, right? I listen to it back and I'm like, oh, how does anybody listen to that?
That's disgusting. You vomit every time you hear yourself.
We get the vibe, right? But get over it, send it through, we'll take it seriously.
Absolutely. Thanks, everyone. See you next time.
Bye.